All right, let's talk about feeling our best without the hassle. You know those wellness trends that sound great but are impossible to stick with? Like taking apple cider vinegar shots. Yeah, no thanks. That's why I love Goalie Nutrition. They make wellness simple, delicious, and effective with their chewable gummies packed with powerful ingredients. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health. And Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies make it easy to add to your routine. And when life gets stressful, the Ashwagandha gummies help me stay cool, calm, and collected. No wonder they're Goalie's number one bestseller. Plus, all Goalie gummies are vegan, gluten-free, and made with high-quality ingredients you can trust. Join millions of happy customers and see why Goalie is the number one most sold item in U.S. retail across all vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Goalie is changing the wellness game. Head to Goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try risk-free, backed by our money-back guarantee. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com today.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah. And can I get a sobriety check from my co-hosts?
Sober as a judge, baby.
I am painfully sober. In fact, many hours ago today, I thought, should I have a little sip of weed seltzer? And I thought, God, don't play with fire. Do not play with fire.
Your body reacts very unpredictably. One sip, who knows where it could end up.
Anything could happen.
On any other day, you'd have an entire can, no problem. But
of course.
A Thursday, one sip.
On a Thursday.
When my body senses that I have responsibilities, it's like, What if all systems just shut down completely? Would that be cool? No, it wouldn't. But thank you to everybody who supported us last week.
Yeah,
we really needed
a lot.
Kindness.
Yeah,
we needed your kindness, and thank you, of course, to my co-hosts, and apologies, and I can only do better going forward. I hope I can never do worse.
And a hearty thank you to GarageBand's editing software.
Oh my God, bless and keep. How's everybody doing this week?
It's cold. It was raining.
Cold, really cold.
I had to go to Maine on Tuesday and Wednesday for my. For a death in a family, but it wasn't like close to me, so don't get stressed out. But it was like,
Don't be scared.
This is not abruptly going to turn into like a grieving podcast. But first of all, it's full on winter in Maine. It's like there's snow everywhere. It's miserably cold. Like
I don't know.
Like, is it December up here? Because it's still like early November in Boston. But anyways, the ride home, it was pouring rain and the fog was coming down, like you couldn't see more than 6 feet ahead of you, and I was like, Maine wants to kill me.
God, that's so romantic. Now you understand why Stephen King is the way he is.
You know, you're not wrong. It was a Stephen King day. You're not wrong.
At least you didn't have a car accident and get your foot cut off by a raving fan. Tunnel Talk fan, probably.
Oh my God. Is it my hater?
Is it my hater?
Your hater. Yeah.
Your
hater.
Your
hater. Kathy Bates.
Hater
yeah.
cuts off my leg and takes it.
I don't know why. I misheard hater as hair. So now I'm like, I've restructured it. So I'm like, yeah, your hater cuts off your hair. Your hater kidnaps you, ties you up, and cuts off your hair. Your most beautiful, precious possession. Your hair. Joe, you're one beauty. It's really cold here. It's like 2 degrees out. It's like, it's pretty nasty. But I don't know. I think it's kind of fun because now I've entered the like in the bleak midwinter space where I am just romanticizing the cold. And I'm like, oh God, I wish it would snow for 7 days and it was impossible to leave my home. So it's okay. Everything's okay. Hey, guys, everything's... Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Everything's okay. Should we talk about... You want to talk about wrestling?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Don't be scared. Let's talk about wrestling.
Change of pace, yeah.
For a change of pace. We're starting with the Connie again. We're starting with the Connie every week because the most stuff goes in it. So I just keep putting it at the top of the schedule. We watched every show this week, okay? Pause, round of applause.
I think everyone needs to be so proud of us.
Dude, Rampage, Collision, and Dynamite. Crazy. Your girls.
It's a lot of
wrestling. We saw it all. And we saw it for the Connie. So we saw quite a few Connie matches. Now, I would say we've been higher on the Connie. it's not the highest we've ever been on the Connie.
No, last year we kind of reached really high heights, and this year we're reaching some mediums, I would say.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going on?
It just feel focused, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like last year, like, everybody had a little story going. Like, everyone had something interesting happening with them, and then some of the stories were, like, really interesting. You had, like, Eddie, you know, Eddie's big comeback and stuff. Whereas this year, it's like, what's going on with anyone? Everyone's kind of medium.
Right, but, like, even like, the non-Eddie, like, Jay Lethal was having a whole storyline.
Yeah, my God. He was like, Jay Lethal was actually great in the con.
Yeah. He was like, I'm trying to do, like, sports presentation, but my stupid faction mates want me to do, like, entertainment. Like, what are we doing?
It's so funny that came to nothing.
It came to absolutely nothing, but I enjoyed it while it was happening.
Of course, it was great.
Where is my Jay Lethal? Everybody is giving the same promo, which is, wow, I lost, or I won, but if I lost, I wish I didn't lose, and I think next time I won't lose as much.
Mm. I'll say it again. It's hockey interviews. It's, well, everybody did the best they could, and you just got to get out there and do what you can do, and I know we all want to put points on the board.
Yeah.
I will say,
are you experiencing a psychic disturbance or not?
I will say, I think Claudio's trying.
Is trying the most,
I feel
like.
He's trying to, like, his promos are all weird, and he's clearly thought them through, and he's trying to convey something. Do I think he's super successful? No, but I have to grade him for trying.
Yeah, well, he's definitely trying to get in there. Like, he's trying to communicate what's going on in his head. It's not, the most scintillating, but it's the most I've ever gotten from Claudio. So that's
true. It's hard for me to pay attention when he talks sometimes. Like, I'm just like, you can't expect me to listen to this. But
I have been listening to it and trying to make sense of it. And I think part of the problem is that he's at the, like, he's part of the Death Riders feud, and the Death Riders feud is at the beginning. So there can be no daylight between him and Knox right now, because that's not part of it. So all of his promos have been on, like, along the lines of, like, I want to convey to you that there's something so weird happening here. And I am Hamlet. I'm giving a speech about how, like, Mox is my sun and my moon. I'm seeing some concerning stuff that makes you think, should he be? Probably not.
Well, look, okay, this is a different order than we were going to go in, but let's really start with Claudio. Okay, so Claudio, Ospreay fought Claudio on Dynamite this week and won. There's another topic there that we'll get to in a moment, but we'll start with Claudio and his promo. His promo I watched, and I did try to listen. I was like, okay, I'm going to try and understand what he's saying. I think what he was saying... He said, I want to win Connie, but I didn't win Connie. Sometimes you work so hard, but then it turns out you don't care about anything, so you don't win. And I was like, I think he's describing having burnout, which is bad. But then he kind of pivoted at the end, I think, and was like, but I do have got to win. what you got out of it?
Didn't he also say something about, like, and... I am what I'm meant to be, a soldier.
And there was some, like, king stuff.
I'm a captain to a king or something.
Yeah.
I think he is, like, there's something here where he's like, I'm in my heart, I burned out and I want to die. I want to give it up. But I'm sworn.
But I can't because Mox brought me back to life, maybe.
Yeah.
I am an undead soldier in the army of Mox.
Yeah.
Something. And sort of like, I have a greater purpose beyond just,
What do you think, did we already talk about it on the pod? What in God's name are the 90, 9 theses or whatever. 95.
95. However, 90, 99 you know, problems, 95 theses, yeah.
Yes. This has all happened before.
Our friend Nicole did say, like, do you think that he's promoting the works of Martin Luther? And I derisively was like, probably not.
I don't think it's Martin Luther, Nicole.
Yeah. As the Connie goes on, was Nicole right?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Did Martin Luther talk about burnout in his thesis?
I mean,
he wanted to split out on the church.
He wanted to split from an overwhelming organization that had a lot of power.
If next week Claudio grabs the mic and is like, Tony Khan permits the purchasing of indulgences, and you shall not go to heaven that way, I'd believe it. I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
I'd be and it would it. Light me up, frankly.
Yeah.
Let's turn our attention to the other matter at hand with Claudio versus Osprey. What did he do to his hair? Hey, guys.
I accidentally forgot to watch a lot of that match.
Yeah. Because I was too busy making cracks about the hair.
I was in every group chat and I had access to making different kinds of cracks.
Let's hear some of the best ones. What do people have to say? What were the people saying? I wasn't anywhere, so give it to me.
I said AI generated Nick Carter.
Mm-hmm. He definitely looks like he wants it that way. Yeah.
Our friend Mora has my very favorite one, which is about to start a 3-episode arc on Seventh Heaven.
I saw one on Twitter that was like, it was not that Tom Green saying that he's really stressed out because his best friend is stressed about asking Topanga to the dance. So
I had the crazy experience of, I think I was in, oh, I was. I was in the kitchen when the match started, and I'm listening on my headphones, and I heard Osprey's music hit and was having a whole thing with myself where I was like, God, I know that music, but whose is it? I simply don't know who's wrestling. It's so crazy that I just can't figure out who it is. So, and then I think eventually I was like, oh, I think it's Osprey, but I kind of, you know, flustered. And then when I came in and crawled into bed, which I said I wouldn't do, but I was in bed watching the match. I was.
Wow, Allie. Liar.
It was so cold. It's cold in my apartment, and it's warm in my bed. And so I'm looking at the screen, and the hair keeps flopping. They're wrestling. The hair is flopping. And I just kept thinking, Orange Cassidy? Who is this? Who am I watching? Orange Cassidy? And then the moment when my brain clicked back into gear and I realized I was looking at Will Ospreay, who had straightened his curly hair, but not completely, just most of the way, I've never been more flabbergasted in my life.
Just picturing him backstage with a flat iron, it's really, it's quite an image.
Did you guys see that he tweeted something about the batch, and then he said, and yes, I do know it's the awkward stage.
Like, the awkward stage of what?
Growing it out, I guess. Can you picture him with like shoulder length hair? Like,
no, how far and, is he but it's, I don't think it the wouldn't flat be the awkward stage to be part of if it had been curly. If it was curly, it would look pretty normal. It's looked pretty normal.
Yeah, the difference between like last week when it was curly and this week when it was not curly and it was center parted in that classic 90s style floppy and boy hair.
The thing is that I'm biologically like engineered to be interested in it. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, he came on screen and I was like, yeah, I'm hanging that up in my locker.
Yeah. Of course I enjoy a 1990s tiger beat look, you know.
People may not like to hear it, but that's the pinnacle of male excellence.
Wow. I guess I wouldn't have gone there, but you know what? Good for you guys.
I mean, it's not... The thing is that, like, it's not something I've chosen. It's not like, oh, no, that's my type. It's just that I see him, and something in me is like, well, now
idolize
I have to
it.
Imagine, like, a celibate, like, journey where, like, we meet like on a train somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm writing Mary Sue about, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a boy like that you like are like, oh, I'm gonna have like a raunchy daydream about. It's like, no, that is some Wattapod bad, you know,
non-threatening boy. energy. Yeah.
Did you guys have, when I was in middle school, there was a girl the year below me, Katie Perfita, and you could just tell her, like, this is the member of O-Town that I like or whatever. And in her little marble notebook, she'd write a little story about you.
Nice. That's a service. That's a service provider in the middle school. Yeah.
And it was an all-girls middle school, so there was a real need for that outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
That person is so vital to the economy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I still think of her fondly all the time. I'm like, wow, good for you, sister.
It is funny when something reactivates those parts of you that you'd long forgotten were there. You know, it's like when I hear the three chords that Blink-182 uses, it's like, oh. I'm happy.
I'm young again.
I'm young again.
Immediately, my skin got so oily that I popped the pimple just hearing those notes.
Tweet that. Okay, so after Claudio lost, he was beating up Osprey, whatever. And then Darby came out to save Osprey. That was wild. I guess it's because he's mad at the Death Riders, which we'll get into more in a minute.
That's the kind of... I wish that, like, I was a little bit better at talking about, like, how, like, feuds should interact. Because I normally kind of like it. But I actually think the Connie should be on its own. I don't think the Connie and the Death Rider stuff should be intertwined. I don't know. But I'm confident.
I think that the Connie should have strong storylines that are standing alone. And because it doesn't, when the Death Rider stuff touches it, I'm like, stop cheating off of your neighbor's paper.
Yes.
You focus on your own storylines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels weird when, like, three other people are, like, challenging Mox, but then Darby's, like, wandering around being like, oh, me too. I'm kind of mad, too. It's just like, I don't know. It's not...
I know. It's like, you need to find something else to do with him for a while. Like, can't you create a side quest for him? Like, kind of an Everest, but at home at AEW.
Like, he could focus on some kind of tournament that was happening, maybe.
They could have done something where, like, in some way, instead of Mox being Mox had to be because he stole that title chance from Darby. But in some way, if you could have shifted the center of his rage to Claudio, you could have done something where Darby's I'm so desperate to win the Connie because that's the only way that I'm going to get at Claudio. You know what I mean? And then that would have been an okay way to touch it. But instead, it is sort of like Darby's like, yeah, I'm showing up to work. But only for Death Rider stuff.
Okay, so Darby did... there's two things going on with Darby here in the schedule. One, Darby did have a promo about the Death Riders thing. He had a sit-down with... Was there someone else there? There must have been.
It was
Renee?
Shivani.
Oh, it was Tony Schiavone.
There was two fake Connie promos this week, and one was with Renee and one was with Tony, and I was like... entering my mind palace to be like,
no, picture him
with Renee.
He's sitting on a stool and it's weird. His something about the way he's sitting is strange. And who's on the stool next to him? It was Shivani.
I want to ask you something, Leah. Have you ever successfully found anything in your mind palace?
It's me, like, my mind palace, like, I'm on the outside and I'm like banging on the door. And I know all my memories are inside there and all the information I've retained is in there. But I don't remember the code to get in, so I'm just banging on the door and nobody lets me into my mind palace.
Oh, God, you've never said anything more relatable in your life. Okay, so he's there with Tony Schiavone and he's talking about the Death Riders and how the Death Riders are chipping away at everything that makes AEW what it is. I have to say in the middle of this, and I don't think it's Darby's fault because it's like the storylines are what they are, but I was like, God, if I hear one more word about what AEW is at this point, sometimes you just gotta let it be, man. Sometimes you just gotta be what you are and not talk about what you are anymore because I can't hear it anymore.
And we've been talking about it for so long. It's been like a full year of what AEW
is.
It's
recursive.
At least, I mean, not that I think the EVP storyline was perfect, but at least at the beginning, the Young Bucks were interfering in everybody
else's
storyline.
Yes, they were. They were doing things.
There was a reason to be like, they're fucking with AEW. The Death Riders is kind of, like, they're just fucking with OC. So, like, if you're Darby, do you care that much?
When he said this, I was like, what are they doing to AEW? I mean,
they're beating people up, but it's kind of like, everyone does. It's never been a safe environment here. Not when you had the feeling and not after the feeling was lost. And it won't be once the feeling is restored. People are always going to be getting beaten up. That's wrestling.
In that mythical future day when the feeling's restored, like when King Arthur comes back to Wolverine.
Yeah, the once in future feeling.
Now, what I'm about to say, I don't think they could have done in the second year of the Connie. You would have needed, like, a number of normal years. But it would have been kind of fun to do a gimmick like this where somebody takes over AEW just on Connie season. And they're like, I'm taking over the Connie, too. And here's how it's going to work now. And it's, like, some bizarro, terrible rules. And people are like, you're perverting this, what the Connie means. You're ruining the Connie.
The sanctity of the Connie. Yeah.
The sanctity of the Connie. That would be fun. This is what the Connie means to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's all seconds. Seconds are no longer banned. Instead, they're everywhere. Oh, you
know. They're in the ring. They draft the Connie, and then everyone has to write down, like, this is your second. And then the upset is like, actually, the seconds are competing in the Connie. And you, who thought you were the biggest stars, are the seconds. Well.
Now, that's a guy that the company should organize around to defeat.
Everybody would be mad about that.
Do you think maybe this year Mox is interfering with the Connie and ruining it, and he stopped everybody from doing psychosexual promos?
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. Is Mox backstage being like, knock it off, only straightforward sports stuff?
Talk about sports. Talk about how you want to get more points on the board.
Obsessed with the mental image of Mox just off screen holding a gun to someone being like, you talk about sports and you don't sound like you have a single feeling in your heart. No, you don't take any of this home with you. This is just your day job. Say it. Okay.
He's got them lined up watching interviews with Sidney Crosby. And he's like, this is what you emulate.
This is what I want.
All right. Okay, Darby, now we're behind
you. We got to take Mox out.
God, this is why we haven't been horny in years.
Someone in our Discord channel said that the problem with the Connie is that too many of them are emotionally stable. And I was like, that's fucked up.
It's messed up.
It's crazy. But not Darby, actually, though, because in the middle of this promo, he did just abruptly. And I was already laughing the second he was on screen. And I say it as a compliment. You zoom in on his face. I'm cracking up. I'm like, he's the funniest guy on TV. What is happening with you? And then in the middle of the promo, he just starts punching himself in the face until he bleeds from mouth. And he said, I'm not stable.
Did he, like, put his tongue between his teeth and then punch himself in the mouth? Because I feel like he must have, which is perverted.
Dude, okay, this is tied to the other thing that we have to talk about with Darby, which is that Darby fought Commander on Collision. And this match was totally fun and fine. It was cool because these are two great wrestlers. But does one of you want to explain what we collectively thought the energy of this match kind of was? A little bit. They're laughing too hard.
I'm trying to figure out how to say it in a normal way.
There's no normal way to say it.
What was like what Darby needs from his opponent is to be sexually ragdolled and cause pain in a way that is the only thing that makes Darby feel alive. And what Commander wanted was to have a good time wrestling and doing flips. He was just happy to be here. He's having a blast. He is not psychosexually involved with Darby.
Well, it was like they were both doing death-defying stunts, but one of them was a pessimist and one was an optimist. You know
what I mean? Like, that's right.
Commander's like, watch me succeed at doing death-defying stunts. And Darby's like, I hope I die doing this.
Well, but also, Lee, I think it was you who said the energy was that Darby was like... I need you to hit me as hard as you can so I can get off. And the Commander was like, let's see if we can 69 while doing a somersault.
They're just not sexually compatible energies. When two people need different things sometimes, no matter how much you love each other.
I did just feel like you could see Darby the whole way through being like, God, I am not going to be satisfied at the end of this.
He kept throwing himself at Commander, like, come on, give it to me. And Commander would just, like, do a 460, whatever.
Tell me I'm a filthy slut. Commander's just like, we are having so much fun here.
I love our job.
With you.
Oh, wow. So good. Okay. Now, let's move on to some of the other Connie performers. Ricochet, as Leah mentioned, did... he had an actual Connie promo that I now didn't watch, so I'm sorry you went and saw that and to find that for me, Leah. Was it good?
I did watch it.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you, Ann.
Yeah, I didn't... I've looked for all the promos. One of the first things I do on Thursday morning is go look up the promos, and then I have myself a little orgy of promos. I swear to God I looked everywhere for Ricochet promo, but then actually there was one from Collision, and he still didn't really cry about it, though.
No, we saw it on Collision.
Cheerful. No, it's from like it was after his Collision after match.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. He didn't cry though.
No,
no.
He didn't even really look close. He seemed pretty emotionally stable.
Honestly, the Dynamite interview with Renee was better because he seemed unhinged and like mm-hmm. someone who was very slowly going like losing the thread of reality. And the Collision one was just sort of like he was like. Man, losing sucks, so I probably won't do that anymore.
Jesus God. Somebody needs to give these... I mean, I need all these men in a room, and I need to read them the Riot Act. You are about to get the lecture of a lifetime from Mama.
You're on the other side of them with a gun being like, don't you listen to him.
It's just crazy to me because it feels like the first group knew that these fucking promos are airing on social media that yeah. like they don't like Dave Meltzer is not gonna fucking like critique them. So they were like,
he can't find him.
He doesn't like, he's not whatever.
Do something so, different.
Like, yeah, they were all like, I'm using this enforced promo time to do something crazy and just like experiment and make something happen. It's like, you're not, what, like, what are we doing with this time?
The most on-brand but also a little craziest thing that I keep thinking is I'm watching the promos, and at the end of them, I'm just like, it was no Who Am I from Les Mis. I want Who Am I from Les Mis. I want someone freaking out, like, what is my life? Like, can I condemn this man to slavery? Pretend I do not see his agony?
Now that you've reminded me that Jay Lethal did a great job last year, because I had been thinking like, well, it's just like the quality of men is like lower this year, but it's like Jay Lethal's not a high quality man.
Jay Lethal has never entertained me before or since. No. But in that moment, I was riveted. I was like, what's he going to do? Is he going to push away Jeff Jarrett? Like, he doesn't want to be a clown anymore. He's getting out of the clown car.
He almost gets, like, a high-level award for his performance in that Connie for being like, these girls don't like me, but they will respect me. And we do. And we do. Yeah, listen to us now. The other sadly stable person we must bring up, Danny Garcia beat the Beast Mortos on Rampage, and then he got beaten by Mark Briscoe on Collision. And then he cut this promo with Daddy Magic, which there's so much to talk about. let's start with what's going on with Danny Garcia's voice, shall we? Thoughts?
He definitely was making it lower on purpose or something, right? It sounded nuts.
He has a special promo voice, and he uses it at special occasions where he just goes, and I'm a big, tough lion.
You're a child. Just be a child.
It's kind of like Cass's voice in Supernatural. And it's like, be careful, Danny. You'll accidentally have to use that voice every day for 20 years.
If you one time say in that voice that you gripped someone and brought them up from perdition, you'll never hear the end of it, buddy. Okay, and then, I don't know, it was a weird, like, chit-chat. Like, I just thought it was like they were on the bench, like, chit-chatting. And he said that he feels like... that Kyle Fletcher is what everyone thought he would be, which I guess he means in terms of winning, but I was like, I don't think anyone thought that you were going to be like Kyle Fletcher, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a mean, like, guy dominating the tournament, whatever, but... Yeah,
the one to watch out for, you know?
Yeah.
I know, it's the problem is, and I say this, you know, nobody respects fathers and sons more than I do. You know, it's a special relationship. We got to get Daddy Magic out of there. He is keeping Daniel Garcia stable. Yeah. He is, every time Daniel Garcia, like, verbalizes a negative emotion, Daddy Magic soothes it away. He says, don't dwell.
This promo was all Danny Garcia being like, I can't believe I'm worthless. And Daddy Magic being like, what are you talking about? You're great. Like, buck up, buddy.
Don't tell him that.
Slugger, there's another game next week. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, get him next time. Yeah, I think the other problem is that like Danny Garcia went pretty hard and sad last time. So I'd really like him to do something like a little bit different, but he's not quite.
I know. There is something there. If he lost so badly last time and it destabilized him for a little bit and he had to come back and he finally won the TNT championship. And in a moment of complete hubris, he was like, I'm going for the stars. Like, I'm going to go for the Continental too. And then slowly came to terms with like, maybe he didn't fix all his problems with self-confidence. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? You could do that, but I think you would have had to attack the matches differently. I think you would have had to like tell a story about coming in super cocky and being like, I'm the man now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then again, Daddy Magic can't be there and Danny needs to be alone in a hallway kicking things. And the interviewer's like, Danny, a couple words about what? You know what I mean? Like that was shit, you know?
God. That's true. If he was mad instead of crying like last year, that would do it for me.
I want some bad attitudes.
Yes.
Hey, I'm tired of you, these respectful interviews where no one is even yelling at the interviewer. Mm-hmm. I want you to be bad. I want you to lean. You are feeling things and then expressing them in ways you shouldn't express things in a workplace.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I want those emotions to be strong, not these kind of like, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's only a wrestling match kind of attitudes from everybody. Like, come on.
I now can't remember a single thing that Brody said in his promo this week, but I was repulsed by it. I was like, you have really upset me with your even-keeled, normal-ass promo. And then at the end, you bark like that makes you a big dog.
The barking
You're no
at the
big
end
dog to
is
me.
Not doing him any favors. No.
Certainly not. It's very angry.
Yeah. Unfortunately, his vibe is kind of like, well... I'm still the most popular member of House of Black, so it's like, that guy's gonna really kick me out, you know? Like, it's kind of my whole vibe is very safe, so, yeah.
He's like, I already got into my safety school, so whatever.
God, that's exactly it. No one's hungry. No one's fucking hungry in the Connie this year.
That's why it shouldn't have been a fucking belt. It should have been a statue of Nike. And then people would be panting.
Fuck
for
yes,
it.
Then they would want a beautiful marble statue of Nike.
That they could put on their mantelpiece. Everybody wants that. This cotton belt thing.
You can only win it once a year. It should.
Yeah.
I meant
it's
to ask.
It's crazy that someone came so into this with the belt. It was Okada, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okada. Yeah.
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 That's crazy. It's crazy they did that.
It's
I'm
so
sorry.
Stupid. They should just get a trophy and the title shot or whatever.
I meant to reach out to one of our knowers and ask what do you win when you win the G1? Like,
I think they win a title shot.
I hope it's just the respect of your peers.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a title shot, but I don't think there's a belt, but I don't know.
I don't think No. Someone's going to tell us, like, yeah, girls, it's the most famous belt at NJPW. I don't think there is one.
I can't believe you don't know about the Triple G.
We'll get to that later. No, actually, I think it was, well, no, go on.
I just think that, like, if it's a statue that you almost, well, I guess Max brings out the ring periodically to cheat with it, but, like, it should be on the level of the diamond ring where it's like you can only win it once a year and it's like it's the time that you're holding it. Oh my God. Imagine if it was like the Stanley Cup and they got to take pictures with it all year.
And put
like,
babies in it and
put
stuff?
Put babies in it. Yeah.
That would be so cute.
That would be like a really fun thing. Like you shouldn't.
That'd be fun.
Whatever. It's stupid. They are not running the county the way I would run it. Is that all? That's all I would
Certainly
say.
Not. Can't we just get hired for this one thing to be Connie consultants? Connie Sultans?
As sports girls, you'd think they'd be knocking down our door.
What did you just make me think of? The Connie is a Stanley Cup. It's gone. Okay. Well, anyway. So anyway, do better. I'm quite annoyed, actually. I'm in a bit of a rude mood with the whole Connie crew. And I'm like, y'all are fucking half-assing it. I know it's almost vacation. I know school's about to be out for a month. You show up to class, you do your homework, you do your tests. I don't want to see any slacking.
They're just telling us they're going to circle back in the new year. It's not appropriate for the Connie.
That's for me, not for you. That's right. That's for office workers, not for you. Okay, let's move on. Mina fought Emi Sakura on Collision and won. Very cool, fun match. Had a good time. Liked it. And then Mina and Mariah had their big Winter is Coming match. And it was fine. Let's talk about it. Hey, guys, let's talk about it. What did you think of the match?
For something I was panting for, and that I thought that desperate. They were holding Mariah's entire reign to get to. It was fine.
Yeah.
I liked parts of it very much, and I like both of them very much, and I like the wrestling, but there was a lack of... I don't know. Like, it felt not that focused, really. Yeah. It felt unfocused.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that they need, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm certain that there is stuff going on backstage that would explain
always.
Everything that happened. And so I'm not even that mad at him. There's times where I'm like, what the fuck? Who made this choice? I know for a fact that there is shit going on backstage that would explain this. But I wish that we lived in the world in which Mina came off of All In with her and we had a reign of terror for the two of them and saw that those rosy days of them holding hands and kissing as they did bad girl shit. And then Mariah turned on her.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple, like maybe a couple weeks of like Mina being like sad and vengeful, like, and really whipped us up. And then got a pay-per-view level match out of it. Like, we deserved that.
Yeah. Yeah, this just didn't have, like, the passion that they should have after their love affair and then their betrayal and turn. Like, I should have really been feeling... It should have been, like... I mean, nothing's really going to approach Hangman's Word, but it should be in that realm, you know?
Right. You want it to be built up that way. I mean, but it's, like, even, like, you just want it to be built up, like... the same way that Tony and Mariah was built up, where you felt like, oh, I'm getting little hints that something's going on in the background, but it's not coming to the forefront, and you could like almost forget it, but then eventually it does become, you know, you just want that, like a little long-term storytelling, baby. Yeah.
And this week I really felt like, oh, the women's division was so good for a while there, and now we're back in the dirt with it again.
Yeah. Well, and so then Mariah won, she retained her title, and then afterwards... Toni Storm re-debuted, and she had been out wrestling across the world and given an interview being like, maybe I'll never wrestle again or something, you know, kayfabe. Anyway, so she comes back. She comes out at the end of the match. She's back in her tomboy getup. What are we calling it? Is that
the
right?
Rocker? I think Rocker Toni. Oh,
Rocker Toni. She's Rocker Toni again.
Like the way we talk about them sometimes, it's like they're being sold in Barbie packages, you know?
It's
like,
kind of how it feels.
It's Rocker Toni.
It's Rocker Toni. Listen, I have so much trust in Toni at this point, so I'm really trying to just be like, okay, cool, I can't wait to see what you do with this. But I did hate Rocker Toni. I don't like Rocker Toni, and some will try to talk you into liking her, and I say, but I don't.
I know. And the fact that her first match is up against Harley, which is a Saraya, like, satellite, and I'm like,
oh, God.
To have Rocker Toni back in anywhere near Saraya, I'm like, I can't go back to that place. No. I didn't like it there.
No.
I hope something about this is going to zag. I mean, she can keep dressing like a rocker if she really wants to. I guess I would prefer if she didn't. But I need to hear the woman speak. I have to hear what she has to say. I trust her, but I'm scared. I am scared.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully she is going to be doing, you know, it's like she has amnesia from trauma or, you know,
that'd
what,
so
something.
Fun.
That'd be really
that'd
fun.
That would be so fun. Well, okay, I'm back.
Fingers crossed for that, yeah.
If she has amnesia, I'm back on board.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So hopefully, like, RJ City is still booking this and Toni still has some creative control. Because, yeah, it made me very nervous. But it could be cool.
Could you imagine if, like, we haven't seen Rampage, so this is going to air after
Oh,
Rampage,
yeah, you
so
guys will
all
know.
Laugh at us. But can you imagine if, like, she sees Saraya with with Harley, and she's like, oh, my friend Soraya. We're friends with him. And then she, like, encounters Mariah, and Mariah tenses up, thinking she's about to get her ass beat. And then Tony's just like, Mariah, when did you come to AEW? See? Wow.
Okay, amnesia can solve so many problems, and yet it's almost never coming up in wrestling, even though people are getting hit on the head all the time. So you'd all the think time. That it would be more
lots
common.
Of opportunities, yeah.
I think it would be a little more common. And then Thunder Rosa was in the audience holding a Not My Champion sign during this match.
She was changing out those signs a couple times.
She did change them out a couple times, yeah.
And it could be a little bit, like, under some people, it would be a little bit funny, but, like, Thunder Rosa has been annoying enough that I was just like, okay, Sammy Guevara.
Oh, my God, right. Gimmick theft. Wow.
Also, I had managed to forget Sammy Guevara was a person, similarly to how I'd kind of forgotten about Thunder Rosa, and it was like, oh, you still go here. How about that?
Did he get injured or no?
It's quite possible.
Anything's possible.
No, isn't he a tag champion with Dustin Rhodes on ROH?
Still?
Oh, did he get sent to ROH? Still,
sent to the ROH?
Sent to Athena's prison, Athena's Alcatraz Island.
Her simulation. Oh my God. Wow.
Do you think they're going to get an ROH TV deal? They're kind of pushing it again.
Listen. If they do, everyone needs to fucking thank Chris Jericho.
You know we will.
His best. You know we will.
And his best is good enough for me. We'll get the other girls.
Yes, the current champions are still Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. So whoever's keeping points, but, I get one.
Yeah, you get one. But when was the last time they wrestled? Do you have that information handy?
No. Hold on.
Okay, well, you've lost your point.
Anyone can Google things, Leah. Come on.
Imagine, like, you'd actually have to be afraid for me if I was like, I think
November 22nd, they defeated.
It's true. I would be like, we need an exorcist. We've got to get it. There's a demon in her.
So, we'd be like, Sarah and Leah have switched bodies.
Another fun trope that we'd never see on wrestling.
Never see in wrestling.
So after Sammy fought Shelty B, he fought a singles match on ROH in early November, then a tag team match the week after that on ROH, and then a tag team match last week, I think.
Did so he's wrestling regularly.
He's out there.
Did you know his tag team with Dustin Rhodes is called the Sons of Texas?
I can't be getting into all that, I think. I don't have anything to say about that. You know, I'm sure we've said it on this podcast before, but I don't really, everyone would be so mad if it happened on an episode of wrestling that, like, we couldn't let it happen. I mean, we could. At our gas station, of course we could book this, but at our Pumps for Us, yeah, we would book this.
At our Pumps for Us, like, people, they don't complain if it's WWE shit, you know? Like, they see it and they're like, that's our Pumps for Us shit is what they're complaining about.
Well, the exactly. I'm like, we have one rule. Don't say WWE shit on the premises.
No. But the thing is that, like, you know, the people who travel for our pumps, they trust us. They say, hey,
they trust us, yeah, of course.
If the girls want to try having a draft or, like, you know, some kind of, like, villain authority figure, hey, let's give them a little rope to work with.
Because they say, hey, this is art. They're making art, and they don't want to make bad art. They're trying to make good art. And does it always work? No. And we say, yes, we love all of our art.
They say, here's the thing about our art. It's always going to be worth that tank of gas.
And the 10-hour drive it took me to get there.
Well, anyway, the idea that now I guess is for our pumps for us is that you do a full tabula rasa episode where a bunch of people have lost their memory and they're trying to figure out
amnesia.
Exactly. They're trying to figure out who they are and who they are to each other just based on context clues.
FTR comes out and they're like, we must be some kind of parody act, and then they're doing Outrunners. The Outrunners are like, wow, this is serious.
Well, that'd be funny.
That's the only way FTR is getting out of the bananas split, you know,
fuel pump.
Split,
yep.
Room.
The banana
that
room.
Sounds
yeah.
Too, that sounds too nice for them. Yeah, I'm like, they don't. They're not eating Sundays in there. They're slipping. They're falling, and they're bonking their heads. Okay. All right. And what else is about this? Oh, elsewhere in the women's division, Mercedes and Anna Jay had a backstage segment with Renee. I think they both did a pretty good job for them. Like, they both seemed pretty loose and confident for them. It's a little bit on a curve, but Mercedes the past couple weeks, I will say, I think has really seemed to, like, loosen up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like she's getting, like, more confident. Her character's getting a little more interesting. And yeah.
She, I think she likes being a heel a lot more than being a face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about what she was wearing?
I didn't hear much of what she said because her gear was, it had some kind of optical illusion to it somehow.
And I think one of you said it looked like she was pregnant, but I felt like it was more than that, that she had suddenly gotten some kind of like animalistic abdomen that like it like started high. I was like, what is happening?
I was staring at it for so long being like, but her abdomen doesn't protrude, but I can't tell what it's actually doing.
Well, and there was some layering of clothes where it was like, was it a semi-sheer leotard over high-waisted underpants or something? It was something where I was like, it's kind of giving alien body. It's kind of giving outfit a 8-year-old put together in the basement. Like, there's just so much happening here, and it's so visually startling. I kind of give her credit for it. I'm like, wow, it was insane. Good for you.
Again, yeah. No one else is doing that.
No one else is doing it. Yeah.
No one else is making you stare like, is that some kind of alien thorax? There's like, sparkly crusticles and lines. I don't know.
I welcome any wrestler looking for a gimmick to alien, secret alien thorax.
Yeah, kind of an ice planet barbarians gimmick. Okay, should we move on to our little Death Riders situation here?
Yes.
John Moxley came out and cut a promo on Collision in which he singled out Jay White, Hangman, and Orange Cassidy to explain why they are not cut out to be the AEW World Champion.
It was a little bit like, I'm tired, I'm hurt, and I'm surrounded by children.
Absolutely, it was. He's looking so good, though. Like,
I know.
His beard is so crazy.
Yeah.
It juts so much.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it just has a lot of heft to it, and it's...
It's going towards Sphinx territory, you know?
It is, exactly. That's what I keep thinking about. I'm always seeing him in profile. Mm. You know?
I like how he and Yuta both have, like, we're heels now, so our beards are gonna be crazy.
I celebrate it for sure. Anyway, so he gives this promo, and then he ends by saying that he wishes he'd never let Orange Cassidy leave New Jersey with his skull intact, and says, I'm telling you and I'm telling the world, if you piss me off one more time, I will take you off the board for good. OC's music hits. OC comes out. He's in his little all black outfit. He's looking so cute. That's our little boy. He's so talented. He comes out. He hops on the mic. And he says, he's been giving so many promos recently.
Yeah, he's really talking.
Talking.
He's looking so cute. And he's really getting out there.
He says, I can live without ever being AEW World Champion. I can't. I'm going to need to see it. But I can't live with you as AEW World Champion, so I'm not going to stop until you aren't anymore. The only way I'll stop is if you kill me. And then he throws the mic at Mox, and he throws his sunglasses at Mox, and he started stripping.
Angry stripping, yeah. It's like, I'll take you out right now. My jacket's coming off, my shirt's coming off, which is my favorite thing about wrestling, when men start ripping off their shirts in a threatening manner.
You know I'm serious, because I'm going to get naked right now. So he's stripping off and he's being, come at me, come at me. And then Marina Shafir brains him with her case. Is that what the belt is in? The belt is in the case.
I think so.
I don't know. The chalice, the vessel with the chalice. And then, she brains him and he goes down and he does stay down, and he's just getting, he's getting beaten. He's getting beaten up. One thing that I'll say, I'm forced to conclude, when I put together his actions, you know, and I just think, like, about what happened, and I'm like, he came out, he starts angry stripping, he gets hit once and goes down, he has no plan. I think it all worked out exactly the way he wanted it to. He wants to get beaten up by the men, by that many men and a woman.
And Darby.
It all worked out exactly as he hoped it would.
They're both small, and they both have certain proclivities. We can say it.
We have to, I think.
Based on the evidence in front of us.
Ethically, we have to say it.
It brings us no pleasure to observe.
We are scientists.
Observe.
We say what we see. We always have. We always will. He said, I got a taste, and I want more, more, more.
And I gotta get my shirt off before this takes place.
What are we supposed to conclude? If any of you just happened to have with you a little bit of the bubbly and they said, we're so sorry, it has been sold out for years. We unfortunately don't have any little bit of the bubbly.
And if you don't have bubbly, Lysol is fine.
If you have some kind of liquid, you could, like, get all over my face. Maybe you could all stand around me in a circle and get liquid on my face.
Just douse me.
Force it on me. Yeah.
I'm wet. I'm panting. All right. Well, I'm overheated. Okay. So then they drag him backstage. Cut to commercial. And we're so hot fanning ourselves. Yeah. Like, wow. And then it comes back from commercial and we're looking at FTR. Is that legal?
Sometimes Tony really likes to throw a cold bucket of water on us. He says, girls, you're too worked up.
You got me
that way. And
there's
steam coming off us. Yeah.
You did it. So then he punishes us. So we have little Mr. Daxton Cash there. And it's for charity, we remind ourselves.
I know, and it's like, I can't even make fun of them because they're talking about charity. And it's like, yeah, of course I want hurricane hit victims to be helped. But does it have to be you? Can it be anybody else?
Anyway, you're right. Well, you're right. So they are cutting their Fight for the Fallen promo. And then they hear something nearby, and they turn and they look, and the Death Riders have dragged Orange Cassidy, and I think they've, like, tied him to a chair or something, and he's squirming.
And writhing? Gyrating?
They've got their fingers in his mouth, and he's writhing.
They're opening them. They're prying his mouth open, and Jon Moxley has a vial. It's not a vial. It's just a normal bottle. He's pouring potions down his throat. Unknown potion. It's a cleaning product. I believe the word Drano was used. So he's pouring the Drano down his throat. And Cash and Dax say, oh my God, we have to get involved. Then they run over there like the little Bernese mountain dogs that they are or whatever, with their tequila around their neck, and they say, we've got to help, and they save Orange Cassidy so they can fight the Death Riders for charity. To my mind, when I put the pieces together, I say, this is consensual kink. Orange Cassidy went out there and said, I want to do a scene, and the Death Riders are good game and giving. They are happy to do it. They said, let's perform BDSM together. So don't get involved. They have a safe word. It's fine.
It did crack me up because there was a beat after all this happened where you just saw Abaddon walking in the background. And Abaddon had no interest in what was going on. It was just like the prime, like, unbothered, moisturized, in their own lane.
Abaddon's so polite. When they see people participating in a scene backstage, they say, that's great. I hope they enjoy it. And they leave them be. They don't interrupt.
Leave it alone.
Gallant.
Yes.
Oh, but yes. You see a consensual scene and you jump on in, you make it about you. Goofus. Goofus behavior. So, I don't know. That's just kind of how I see Orange Cassidy's character. Do you think that's what they mean to be communicating?
I think I'm pretty sure. Quite startled to hear the things that we've said.
How startled, though? It's all right there.
Listen, never recognized in New Time.
So true. Nor are they necessarily respected. Okay, so then as a result of this, all of this, Orange Cassidy and Jay White fought Pac and Mox on Dynamite this week. So as the match started, commentary told us that Mox had threatened Orange Cassidy with, quote, a stay of execution. And Nigel was like, that must have him quaking in his boots. And I just thought, what did any of you mean to say here? What's happening here?
The geniuses of pro wrestling strike again.
Mox just said he won't kill Orange Cassidy. No, he's got to be scared. Okay. I don't know what that meant. Did you enjoy the match?
I did enjoy the match. Orange Cassidy was very passionate in this match. He was, you know, anxiously pacing alongside. He was...
He hadn't been permitted to get all his yayas out in the scene earlier in the week.
He was still had a lot of pent up energy. Yeah.
We have to discuss what was going on with the men. Skins.
Yes, and their skins. Two men, very pale. Mm-hmm. Pac and the other man, Mox, John Mox.
You've heard of him.
You know him. You love him. Two of the men, quite orange. Orange Cassidy and Jay White.
Yeah.
White versus orange. But they were on the same team, actually. They were actually on the same team.
And that happened organically in our group chat. Allie said, this is a real orange versus white match. And then she said, oh, their colors, not their names.
Said, no, actually, those delightful. Two are together.
Listeners, it was so funny when she said it the first time.
Well, you're loving it now. You didn't get to see it the first time. You don't have access to that group chat, so that's a special. Only my friends have to suffer me there. Okay, so during this match, everyone's fun. I thought this was a really fun match. I had a really good time. It's actually the most, like, excited I've been about Jay White in a while, because he was doing some really crazy, like, he just looked really insane, and I was like, yes, I want to see you panting and screaming.
Yeah, I'm usually not a Jay White enjoyer, but I feel like he brought an energy that was much more interesting than he has a lot of times.
I was very into it. Meanwhile, Christian is watching from the rafters with his dented contract case, so keep an eye on that.
I think it might be a clipboard, somebody told us.
What?
A clipboard? But isn't it...
Like, on the other side, that's just... But I've never seen... Well, then why have I never seen a little glimpse of the contract?
It looks like a square. Wait, who said that?
It looks like it has depth.
I don't remember who said it. Someone said it to us. Right, they were like, girls, you idiots, it's a clipboard. And then I did look on Dynamite, and I was like, oh, I think it is. He's just holding it.
Why does it look like it has depth?
I don't know. Maybe they're wrong.
We've got to pull that person into the Zoom.
Oh, I think we have to pull the tape. But yeah, let's get that person in the suit. Oh, whatever. Who knows what we see. Okay, so in the middle of this match, Yuta and Marina were interfering to try and help Pac and Mox. And Hangman barged into the ring, also to attack Mox. I just have to say, explaining these Death Rider segments, I know how stupid I sound. It's really hard to keep track of this many names. I mean, it would challenge even a well mind, and mine is not. Because I, like Leah, have been locked out of my mind palace.
Memories are just piling up in your mind palaces, and you can't get in there to access them.
I wish I could see them.
They're like, the walls are bulging, but...
People try and teach me things, and I'm just watching them fly into the mind palace, just out of reach. Say, God, it would be interesting if I could access those. Okay, so then, whatever, it's a whole melee, because it's like, OC then is fighting with Hangman, which is pretty horny, sexy, that's pretty good for me. And he's trying to beat up Hangman, but he accidentally punches Jay White. They're in the same team, but Jay White is not, you know, they're not the Young Bucks. So Jay White immediately is like, fuck you, Blade Runners him. And then as, I think this was Tony Khan, the recapper of AllElitewrestling.com, said, Hangman pointed a finger of blame at them until Moxley and the Death Riders blindsided them. Pointed a finger of blame is so funny that it's like, well, he was a teacher, so... Maybe so. Okay, so then we get a Mox promo afterwards. Is this right? Did I put these pieces together right?
I think so. I definitely saw the same promo you did.
And I think it was after. I think there was like a commercial break and then they came back to Mox.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, so they come back to Mox and the Death Riders backstage. Mox is kind of ranting and raving. And he's just saying, like, he just said, I'm a marked man, heavy as the head, which I did say was giving football star force to act in a little Shakespeare in high school, and he just can't remember his lines, and he keeps getting up there, and it's like, okay, Ben, now, heavy as the head, I'm a marked man, Ben, please look at your script, you don't have to be off script yet. But then he just said, I'm going to fight them all. It'll be a fatal four-way at the end of the year
dance.
World's End dance. At the World's End dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun that they're all going to go together to the World's End dance.
Nice, I think. Yeah.
Hope they get a really nice limo. And then we got a promo from Christian. And Christian said, I have a problem with every person in this match. And then he explained the problems, some of which were more compelling than others. And then he said he's gonna fight whoever is the champion. You won't wriggle out of fighting me, Christian was heard to say. But then Hook beat him up. Okay. So did I cover everything there?
I think so. Allie, I was idly Googling the Christian thing. Can I show you a picture that is going to blow your mind?
I'm so scared, but yeah. Let me get the chat open.
Well.
Oh, I see. It has a box.
It's a box.
Oh,
it's a clipboard on paper inside.
It's insane.
What the fuck?
Where did they find this object?
That can't be normal. Can we immediately Google, like, clipboard with box on back?
I think it's one of those clipboards where you can, like, have papers inside
storage
it.
Storage clipboard.
Yeah.
Storage clipboard.
That's
what is he storing in there?
His contracts.
He's storing his contracts.
Well, why doesn't he keep it on the clipboard?
Maybe he also has, you know, like crackers.
He has his AEW title thing. He has Kip's no jerk off contract.
So true. He's got his no nut November contract.
He's got Nick's adoption papers. He's got a lot going on. He's got to keep track of all this stuff.
Yeah. When you're a patriarch, there's a lot of paperwork that you've got to track for all your people. He's got their vaccination records. You
know. Rabies shots, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, all right, I can onboard that. In a way, I feel like we all won this one.
That's true,
I
actually.
Yeah. I don't feel
it was a
like
box
we
and
wrong.
A clipboard.
It was two things at once. What did you guys think about commentary calling Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian Christian's young sons?
It delightful.
Wasn't right.
Loved
it. Wasn't right.
How old is Kip?
I was like, once again, commentary fails to understand the nuances of the relationships going on here.
They don't understand the variety of family structures that exist. Like, a family can be like a father, a mother, a son, and just a man that you picked up off the street and signed a sex contract with.
Daddy's special friend.
It's called the third, okay, AEW?
Oh my god.
Kip is 32, so it is pretty funny to call his young sons.
Dude, he's not a young son, but then relatedly, because it's like the fact that he's not a young son is what makes it like super okay for me to be like, when he stood up in the box up there, I was like, God, he does have a perfect body. He just has the perfect body. He looks so cute. Kip Sabian.
No, what's happening here?
It's Kip Sabian has a little... kind of a classic small beef body, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you do because we've talked about it so many times. He's like one of the smaller little cows, the sweet one, the little sweet tiny cows. So cute.
I would love, it's too bad that we don't have the resources to ever remember anything we've said, but if someone made like a clip show of every way we've described a man's body, I think I would love it.
I think it would be exactly like what's their faces with the boys clip.
The Bim Bam? Yeah. Absolutely, it would be. It would be. Oh, my God. Great. Okay. Well, I've lost. I was so busy looking at that picture that I don't know where the schedule is anymore. Oh, I found it. Okay. Oh, whew. Enter the Culvers. Oh, are you excited about the four-way? I'm excited about the four-way. I think that's a really fun four-way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it.
Could be a great match.
And watching OC and Hangman, like, have a little interpersonal interaction in this one, I was like, oh, I could use more of this. I could use a lot more of this.
Dude, if that goes somewhere and it turns into, like, a Hangman versus OC feud, I'm worried about the status of my other job. I think Trish and Sarah might be ripped apart. Yeah. Mm. Like, they're, I don't know if special guy violence is going to work out for them.
It could bring them closer together. You just never know what trauma will do for a relationship. I'm excited. I'm at my leisure to see it. Enter the Culvers. Adam Cole fought Kyle O'Reilly and won, as expected, despite some light interference from MJF, as expected. Before the match, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett approached Kyle to be like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to have this fight.
And it made me remember us just talking about Kenny doing that to Matt Jackson. You don't have to do this.
He said, I think when Kenny did it, it was in the funniest tone too, where he just looked so dissociated. Well, now we know because of his guts. He just goes, you don't have to do
that. That was the funniest delivery, like, maybe ever.
Kenny's going to be back, like, for real after Dynasty, right? Like, he's going to come back to the show.
I'm really worried that both Kenny and the Bucks are not coming home. That they're going to be like, we're going to stay in Japan until you treat us better.
Japan, you can't keep them. We need those for our mental health, because look at what's happening to us without them. What have we even said tonight? The disturbing things still approaching to be said. We need Kenny back. Like, and yeah. I need to be seeing some. Listen, I don't have that many opinions about presentation and stuff, because mostly I'm like, I don't care that much. But I'm gonna need some hype packages for Kenny. I'm gonna need to be hearing a little more about Kenny, because I'm just thinking I haven't heard very much at all.
No,
I've heard a couple commentary occasionally says his name. I think they're gonna have to say it a few more times, and I'd like some big banners saying Kenny come home, welcome home Kenny, Michael family home. Love Kenny. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Okay, so just take that under advisement. They said, you don't have to do this. Kyle said, you should have thought of that before you let one of our brothers get hurt. Is that about Roddy?
It's so funny because it's like, since when do any of you care about Roddy?
You
just could not have been clearer about how you feel about Roddy.
Egg? Seriously?
It's wild. And Kyle looks like his soul has fully left his body with this. His personality has split. He's dying inside. He's going to go on Hinge and say that his favorite show is The Office and he loves Marvel movies.
When I read that, my soul left my body.
My working theory is that a yerk has gotten into his ear.
Say more.
An alien with is that vengeful... One of
From Animorphs. The Animorphs?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, tell me.
And so he's continuing the facade of his of his body's day job while he does evil things at night when no one's paying attention. During the day, he can't arise suspicion, which is why he goes on TV and says, I love to fight.
Well, he's arising quite a bit of suspicion, actually. I've rarely been more suspicious. Although, I guess, in fairness, it's not that I'm suspicious so much as I'm heartbroken. I'm literally gutted every time I see my freak son acting like a normal boy.
Yeah.
It sickens me. It upsets me.
Do you think Adam Cole sucks the personalities out of the men around him?
He feed on them.
He's surrounding himself with husks.
Energy vampire Adam Cole. Energy vampire. He learned it from Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's fine now. We'll talk about him later.
Somewhere Roddy's like, I used to have a personality. People love me.
Oh my God. What is our favorite Roddy quote? All my life, I've suffered the consequences of my actions. was so funny.
No more. So funny.
It was so funny.
Roddy's really had some high highs. I mean, he's had a lot of low lows and a lot of mid mids, but the highs were high.
Unfortunately, now I think I'm in such a bad place with Adam Cole that I'm blaming Adam Cole for the low lows.
Oh yeah,
me too. Like, Roddy was fine. Look what you did to him.
Yeah, Roddy was doing beautiful, pathetic ex-boyfriend work, and then
you took a perfectly anxious man, and you just made him normal. You should be ashamed of yourself, Adam Cole.
Maybe nice man Adam Cole is back there doing affirmations and being really emotionally supportive, and he is fixing them all to our detriment.
Adam Cole broke the Connie.
He's walking around backstage being like, oh, you lost. That's okay, buddy. You'll get him next time. And everyone thinks, wow, he's so sincere. He must be right.
He's secretly aligned with the Death Riders.
Oh my God. We cracked it
wide
open.
He's in bed with the Death Riders.
Fucking devil strikes again. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
You will. I can't believe we got tricked by this fucker again. He got our asses. Well, anyway. Okay, guys. So he's fighting. Kyle and Adam are fighting each other, okay? If you listen to us and you know us and you were listening to commentary during this match, you probably thought, like, wow, the girls should be beating it to this. The girls are harder than they've ever been in their lives. Because the things that commentary was saying,
Excalibur was leaning into the mic, being like, these men have known each other for so long. Their bodies are so familiar. They know what the other is thinking the moment that they think it. Their hearts have been connected since birth. And I'm like, my God.
You couldn't imagine the nights they've spent driving across the country, like side by side in a car, sharing rooms together, sharing beds, sharing anything that two men can share. It was like, it was the most monkey's pod I felt in quite some time. Like, it was like they had crawled into our brains and found everything that we want to hear said about two people fighting each other. And then they said it, but I felt nothing. I felt nothing but fear for my freak son, Kyle O'Reilly.
Well, you can't create emotional investment by just doing a voiceover, you know? I watched some terrible Netflix Lindsay Lohan Christmas movies.
Oh, my God.
Week.
Did you watch the new? I haven't seen the new one yet.
Yeah, I watched all of them. Yeah.
There's more than one? You watched last year's.
I watched last year's. I watched this year's.
Last
year's
was so bad.
It was real bad. And then there's a St. Patrick's Day one that's even worse, as hard as that is to imagine. Yeah.
I'm glad that she found a niche, but the films
she's
are...
great in them is the thing. So then it tricks you into thinking it's going to be better because she's good. And then you're just like furious. Like, what's going on here? But the new one starts with a voiceover about how she and her ex were, you know, their two hearts were one, but then they had no chemistry and no connection and nothing in the story ever backed it up. And that's kind of what this match was like.
God, you're right. That's completely right. Now, this is so off topic, but just because you brought up the movies, did you guys watch Hot Frosty?
No.
Wow. This is one of the worst. I mean, it's so bad. It's crazy because, so all my friends in Minnesota, we like to watch some of the Hallmark Christmas films around the holidays. And the Hallmark movies, like, know what they're about. You know, it's like not a good movie, but it's like, it knows what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Except sometimes when they are really crazy, they'll be about, like, Confederate ghosts and stuff. But Hot Frosty, I was both transfixed and bored by every second of it somehow at the same time. It was...
The premise is a snowman comes to life and...
The premise is that someone, and you never find out who, has sculpted a beefcake snowman. And it comes to life because a woman puts a scarf around its neck, and it's a hot man with more muscles than are appropriate at all. I mean, it's repulsive to look at, and he's the guy from Schitt's Creek. It's Brian Cage, pretty much
from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, it's Alexis's boyfriend from Schitt's Creek, but he's grown his hair out a little bit, and he's looking gaunt in the face. To be honest, I was a little worried about him.
He's probably been doing weird eating disorder things to get his bod looking like that. Yeah,
certainly he has. And anyway, so he is a snowman still. So when it's too warm, he's melting / kind of dying. He's just getting really sweaty. And they're like, God, this isn't safe for him. And you're like, it's just a sweaty looking man. I'm not that worried about him. Like, he seems fine. And then there's a whole plot line where someone's trying to arrest him. I mean, the chief of police is trying to arrest him for streaking. And he's staying with this woman whose husband died of leukemia like a year before. So that's a big plot point. And I kept saying, I was like, well, I think the snowman does have to die, but teach her a lesson. If you guys don't want to know what happened in Hot Frosty, you're just going to have to skip forward because I'm going to say anything I want to. I'm like, I think he does have to die, but teach her a lesson about, like, it's important to let love into your heart and move on. But instead, she does bring the snowman to life forever with a kiss, and then she, I guess, is just with the snowman. And he's a handyman. He does a lot of jobs around the house.
Does he remember? I mean, he's only been alive for like a week, right?
He doesn't know anything. He's an idiot.
He's
born sexy yesterday.
This sounds like a movie we would write. Like the way you described it, I'm like,
No.
This sounds amazing.
No. When you watch it, you won't feel that way. You'll feel like if we wrote this, it would be so much better. You won't feel that way when you watch it. You're not going to feel that way.
If we wrote the sexiest snowman movie, it would be pretty good. Don't worry about that.
I didn't like the film. I didn't enjoy it.
It sounds bad.
And I hated his muscles. I really did.
It's a travesty. I feel like that kind of low-budget movie shouldn't have high-budget movie Marvel muscles.
No. I think they spent a lot of their money on cameos. There were a lot of cameos in it. There were a lot of comedians in the film, and you thought, like, why are you doing this? don't you have jokes to be making?
You don't have to do this.
Who's holding you hostage? John Moxley is just off screen. You'll act in the Hot Frosty movie and you'll like it. Okay, well, anyway, so then that's what's happening there. Anything else? I mean, anything else?
Can't think of anything.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see. What all that is about. All right. Matt Cardona had a backstage interview with Renee on Dynamite. Matt Cardona, where does he come from? Where's he from?
He is from GCW now, I think.
But he, so he was on WWE. And then he came to AEW for a little tiny minute, but he wasn't hired. And people were glad he wasn't hired. So then he went away. And then he went to GCW. But now he's back. And people are undecided about that.
He is so funny because it's a name that I've heard a lot. But I sometimes have a hard time distinguishing all the Matts in pro wrestling and the IWC, to be honest. And
we watched him fight Nick Gage, I think.
Yeah, he was the one in
we did. That's
match
right.
Where they threw all the stuff at him.
Yeah, they threw the stuff.
I do remember that. And was he wearing
wizard
gloves?
Ropes or something?
He was wearing something weird. Something purple?
Purple.
And Mickey Mouse gloves, maybe?
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
He was wearing something weird. Might be right. We're outside the door.
I'm peering through the windows of the memory palace. Be like, rubbing, I think I see gloves.
Rubbing a little hole in the
I
dust.
Could be wrong, though. It's really dusty. That's a beautiful image that I'm going to keep going back to. Locked out of the memory palace. Yeah.
Like, when was the last time any of us managed to get into our mind palace? How long do you think it's been?
I mean, they've really piled up in there, yeah. Certainly most of wrestling has gotten in there behind a locked door.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You want to discuss Matt Cardona's appearance?
Distressing. Skin distressing color. Teeth distressing color. Too many muscles. Kind of. Looks like he should have a seam down the side like an action figure. Yeah.
Absolutely, he does. I'm so upset by those veneers.
I didn't lay this is,
on it. This is a real, what do you call it when you keep getting up on the hobby horse? You know, like when you won't stop talking.
rubbing another hole in the Mind Palace window. What do you call it?
Where's I have to find beating the window for my language horse. Chamber? This is just for basic English language. What room was it in? Anyway, I've had it with these veneers. I've had it with these two white fake veneers. I've had it with veneers. Just keep your teeth. Keep your normal teeth. Teeth are not supposed to be perfect. Teeth are mm-mm. supposed to be teeth. Brush your teeth. Take good care of them. I'm sorry if you have a genuine dental issue. You do what you got to do. It's fine. Just don't do whatever you did.
For years and years and years, we made fun of the British. But you know what? They were right.
They were
teeth
powerful.
Teeth should be ugly.
Teeth should be unique. A tooth print should be like a fingerprint. And I think it is. Maybe.
Dental records. Yeah, that's it. Hold on. I think I'm seeing into
that one's closer to the surface. Closer to the windows of the old Mind Palace.
Dental records. Yes.
It's a dark moment for me. Parching into the local police station. Like, has anyone ever thought? Teeth are an identifier.
I think we'll be solving some crimes.
But I guess what I was really thinking though was that you could get the same veneer as the guy next to you. Mm. But the shape of your jaw would be different.
should we play a game where we try to invent new ways to solve crimes and then we remember that they've existed for years and years and years?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a really good game. It's probably what everyone listens to the plot. Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I don't think you should have those teeth.
Just I don't give, think that man no. should exist, to be honest. Which no, probably means that in part. 2 years, I'll be like, Matt Cardona, my son. I love you. His veneers.
He's going to reach Brian Cage. We're going to try and go into that mouth with those teeth. Fly yeah, down right it very much. Veneers.
I think there's so many nice landing points for the Hindenburg.
Oh, nice, soft landing. Smooth.
Yeah.
Sparkling, like an ice cap.
Can't miss him.
Oh, coming in for a landing. Well, there's be a glare.
I feel like his tan too on his forehead. You could see the line where it yeah. stopped. Not good. Not a good situation.
He scared me. He frightened me a little bit.
I think that there's a possibility that that's like part of his heel gimmick is that he is like artificially like especially like in GCW that would make him the biggest heel ever, but it's like hard to really adjust when I don't know that man, and also he's up against Chris Jericho who's
well
in his own
that was gonna be my next question was is Chris Jericho the face in this? I guess we didn't even explain what he was doing. I mean, you guys know, you watched the show. Matt Cardona showed up because he's going to fight Chris Jericho at Final Battle ROH because Chris Jericho has ROH title now. You've heard of it, Ring of Honor. It's the title he has. And Chris Jericho then in the show got what he called a New York Minute segment. And where he just said, hey guys, I heard Mr. Cardona. And Matt Cardona said he wants to. Is this really good? Am I doing amazing?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Whew.
Matt Cardona said he wants to fight Brian Keith, the little apple. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jericho said, okay, well, I'll be on commentary for that. And come to watchroh.com because Chris Jericho is always locked in. He says, I'll get you on there. And it'll be me and you in a contract signing. And then be careful what you wish for, because you're not going to beat me at the Hammerstein Ballroom Final Battle. You're not ready for that at all. And so that's a direct quote. That's all exactly pretty much what he said. And he looked.
I'm really excited for this segment.
And I have backup this week.
You do, yeah.
He I'll looked admit it. So good. He looked really hunky.
He was wearing
really
a little
cute.
Jersey. Oh my God. I don't know. He had a real energy about him.
I don't know that anyone could explain what it was about him.
A little sparkle looked, in his eye.
Oh my God, he just looked like if he were my RA, Big J, I have such a huge crush on him. And all my friends do too. And they're like, oh, I wish I lived on your hall and I got to go to Big J's RA talks that he gives about safe sex. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so lucky that I get to.
I would give literally any amount of money to watch Chris Jericho lead us through a safe sex seminar.
Oh my God.
Like, literally yeah. today. Like, I would watch it today. Like, not just in a hypothetical college dorm. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, please yeah.
give up a segment of wrestling in order yeah. to have this happen.
Yeah. Okay. I think Chris Jericho could teach me something, maybe, you know?
Totally. For sure. I want to see the whole, like, freshman weekend. Like, I want to see him do every part of freshman. Like, you know how we always say wrestler's birthday clown money?
Yeah.
Mm. How much birthday clown money do you think it would cost to get him to pretend to be an RA for a day?
The thing about Chris Jericho is that I don't think there's any amount of money. I think you would need to be like,
okay,
I will gather a crowd of people who love you and who are shooting praise beams at
and
you.
They're wearing Fozzy shirts.
Yes, everybody loves Fozzy. And Fozzy super fans. And this will go on the internet,
yeah,
but only on the part of the internet that loves you.
Not oh, yeah.
a single hate comment.
Our Patreon.
Our medical Patreon. Absolutely. This is going on the medical Patreon, for sure.
And because it's a medical condition we have yeah. right now, how we feel about Chris
Jericho. Yeah, Chris Jericho will love to hear that, of course.
There's two places that we're posting this. One, our medical Patreon. Two, our MyChart app, so that our doctors can review it. Absolutely.
Our doctors are big into Fozzy, so it'll go over huge.
They're just going to say, wow, you've never seemed healthier to me. Listening to lots of Fozzy, what could be better for a body?
I think under those conditions, Chris Jericho would be like, hey, hand over the storage clipboard.
I'm not going to give him a storage clipboard because they don't have that kind of money. If you're an RA, you've just got a basic guy with some old stickers on the back. You yeah. found it in a corner at the end of last year. Yeah, thumbs up, Alan.
True.
I want it so bad. I just think it would, heal me in a way.
Yeah.
Can we get Netflix to, like, cast him in a movie?
Oh, my God, let's, yeah.
Like Big Cope did. I mean, that really, he got nominated for a goddamn Emmy, Big Cope. Yeah.
How do you Good think for him. Jericho would do if we gave him a serious series that he had to get started.
I think he'd bring a comedic element to that serious series. What did I see him in something? Has he acted in something?
AEW.com.
There's that. AEW.com. I think he was in some low-budge horror movie, maybe? Like, there's a screenshot.
Chris Jericho acting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably.
Terrifier? Oh, he's been in the Terrifiers. Country Hearts Christmas.
Oh, interesting. Country Hearts Christmas. Maybe we learned about this at just the right moment.
Yeah, I know. Jay and Silent Bob reboot? What the hell?
Really?
These are crazy.
But I bet Kevin Smith's a wrestling fan, though.
You're right. That's exactly true. Yeah.
That's the demographic.
That's right. Wow.
Well,
Chris Jericho could be in a Highlander reboot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not enthusiastic, but it's not disagreement, so I'll take it.
I'm not familiar with the property, so I can't.
I just know kind of the general faces.
He's got the look.
Well,
he was a contributor to Best Week Ever and I Love the 80s.
Huh.
I'm going to revisit. Well,
wrestling was big. Some of that. Well, I love him. Guys, when I'm seeing Chris Jericho do his New York Minute, I just feel something I don't feel very often. Contentedness. And I feel happy and
When there's a Chris Jericho segment on, I'm not wishing it was going any faster. I'm not going to wish it was going slower. I'm not backseat driving it. I'm not thinking about who's got a gun on him. I'm just thinking about it.
See, the gun is in his mind. Chris Jericho is always pointing a gun at himself. That's his secret.
And his secret is be entertaining. Change it up. If they're bored, you got to move. Never stop swimming like a shark.
Never stop swimming. It is, I'm like, every time he comes on, I think, what journey will you take me on today? what strange and unexpected things. Okay, and then the only other thing I have here is that we saw Private Party, and I was reminded that they have the tag team belts, and that was the first time that I've been reminded of that in a minute, because they don't seem to be allowed to do very much.
It's really wild. It's like, they got the belts, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, like, it's someone, you know, new and fresh, and we'll do something different, and then it was like, no, we'll do the same. They're not going to be allowed to perform.
Well, it is kind of stupid. I mean, like, I'm not that mad about it, because I really don't know how many people they could fit into a Death Rider storyline, but it is very funny that Private Party and Daniel Garcia was like, OC, you better go beat up Mox, and OC is like, all right, you're gonna follow me, and they were like, no,
and we won't do it. Actually, we're out. Yeah, never mind.
And now they
saw Chuck Taylor Taylor get fridged, and they were like, actually, this is none of my business.
And it's just like, that wouldn't happen to you because you're not his life partner, so Mox would never torture you that way.
Also,
You're perfectly safe.
I think if Private Party was in charge of encouraging Daniel Garcia after his Connie losses, he wouldn't be so emotionally balanced. They would be like,
oh my God.
That's true.
Why don't you do a shot and then hand him a full ass glass of liquid?
I think that you could do something really funny with Private Party and Danny Garcia where they are trying to hype him up and be like, you got this, Danny. Like, you're great. But everything they say somehow makes him more uncertain about how things are going for him. So it's like they're so enthusiastic hyping and he's just getting more and more like, oh, my God, I'm a failure. I'm a fucking failure. I'm gonna lose my belt and die unknown and unloved.
Like
I do understand.
Have you seen my lawyer dog? I'm going to jail meme. Except it's like, have y'all seen my seconds, man? I'm getting fired.
I do understand that it's Connie season, so there's not a lot of time on the shows right now, really, because we really have to be getting those Connie matches, cranking out those Connie matches. But at the same time, well, maybe let's get him a little storyline, because this actually isn't their storyline. It's Leo Rush, Action Andretti, and Dante and Darius Top Flight are having a storyline where they're in a faction with a woman I don't know, and I think I should, but I can't remember
Layla
who she is.
Gray.
Yeah. Okay.
Every once in a while, the sun shines through a window, and I see a glimpse.
She somehow has one of those faces where every time she's on screen, I'm like, oh God, I should know her, but I don't. So...
I think she's now, one of those wrestlers that they bring out when they need someone to squash somebody but look really good doing it. So like,
yeah. Oh, sure.
Who does that? I don't know. I'm like, I desperately want Private Party to be doing something fun, and like, I really want to get into it because I know that they can, you know, like they have done things before that I'm like, if you're just given a little time, you really could get me. But
yeah.
I can't also be mad because they're giving, it sucks that they're making Top Flight and Private Party like compete for the same 90 seconds, because I enjoyed so much Darius doing his like big puffed up thing, and then he grabbed Leo's arm and pulled him in close and his said whatever threatening thing, and I was just like, oh, this is like when you see a video of a puppy and he's carrying a really big stick but he's marching so proudly and he's like, look at my big stick, I'm so big,
man. All the young men of AEW must fucking hate us every time. I pray to God they don't know about any of this, but every time they come up we're just like, and that was just a little teeny boy and he tried to bark so big but he's so small, and they're they're like, I've been a little teeny boy for 5 years now. When will you respect me, moms? Probably never. You'll always be my little boy. Well, and that's the show, I think. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about? Or anything that we talked about that you wish we hadn't talked about?
I think I'm potentially going to regret some of the things that happened in the gangbang segment.
We actually avoided saying that word until just now, but
yeah,
yeah, I was also thinking I had some regrets, but you know what?
You know
we
what?
We say what we see.
We say what we see, and you just review it, and yeah, we can always, we can always do a pickup. We can always do pickup.
All right. And for comedy purposes, one thing you could do is cut that section, but leave this in. That people are like, no.
The gangbang segment, you say.
What do you think? That reversed you.
Do you think that we said anything that wasn't what we saw?
No, we were truth tellers.
We were truth tellers.
But sometimes the truth is dangerous.
I think that in this case, it's really important for people to hear it.
And sometimes I do think they know it. Remember when OC was doing that move where he'd like straddle their face kind of,
and
then he had his hands in his pockets and he'd kind of be thrusting and he'd have a look on his face like, yeah, I know what it looks like and I am comfortable with that. So,
and I like the images it's putting in your mind. Wrestling, you are a crazy beast. You are a wild, you are woolly, and just be a little better than you have been, maybe. But not with the gangbang stuff. That was fine. That was good.
That was a real highlight for me of this week. So,
same. So on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr and Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also find our merch at shop-tees.com. We've got some exciting stuff coming for you there soon, so keep an eye out. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network.
Which we might be visiting someday.
Oh, yes.
Soon.
Keep an eye out. Hey, keep an eye out for us on, just everywhere.
Just everywhere you look, keep an eye out for us. Keep those eyes peeled, yeah.
You would not believe where you may be seeing us. you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, my God. And as always, please come back next time.